is your host, Zach. Now, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
All righty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
And a good Tuesday afternoon to you, and yes, it is time for the McFarland Show. Hope everybody's having a great day. Darren and Justin here with you, and we are live in the Strike Is Bear Family Fun Center studio. DJ Damon is alongside for the ride for the next 2 hours, and we got a lot of things to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Game 2, Predators in Vancouver, trying to even up the series tonight against those pesky knuckleheads. Another late night start, so you may, if you want to watch it all, you may want to take a nap.
Yeah.
Late this afternoon.
Yeah.
Puck drop is at 9 o'clock, and it'll probably be later than 9 o'clock. Okay, it'll probably be more like 9:15.
Yeah.
Something like that when they drop the puck out there at Rogers Arena in Vancouver. So we're going to go out there in the second hour. We'll bring in our man, Alex Doherty, covers the team for the Tennessean, and they've got a morning skate, and then he's got to do his work. And he's going to come on the show and tell us what he saw. In fact, he may have some breaking news for us.
Okay.
Remember I asked the question yesterday, does Andrew Burnett make any changes?
Mm-hmm.
They tend to make changes after losses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't suspect so, but I don't know. But that could be, maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know.
Okay.
But he may have some news that we can use.
We'll see.
Yeah. So we'll get into that here in the second hour of the program. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us in about 15 minutes ago. The Titans just had a presser that concluded about 30 minutes ago, their pre-draft presser. And it was General Manager Rand Carthon and Head Coach Brian Callahan.
Yeah. Introduced by Chad Brinker, who came out first.
Actually, yeah.
Which he stood up. I was like, who is he and why is he talking? I was like, what is happening here? Okay, I was a little confused at the start. Then it took me, I was like, oh, that's Chad. I was like, well, why is he? It was an unconventional start. You know, we've done a bunch of these. I've never seen
the intro for the GM and the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the, you know, assistant general manager or whatever his title is, you know, doesn't normally come out. And, you know, normally it's the head coach of the GM comes out and says, good afternoon. We're excited to be here. Looking forward to getting adding some brand new talent to our football team to hopefully help us achieve some success that we all have been working so hard for. So, with that said, we'll be taking your questions. That's 9 times out of 10 what they say. So, no, I wasn't ready for the Ed McMahon, here's Johnny, you know, kind of routine.
He is the president of football operations. Remember, he got that promotion.
Yes.
Back, several months ago.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I guess now he's going to be introducing press conferences?
Apparently,
I don't know.
Apparently, that's part of the, because, you know, still, I don't know exactly what that does. So, okay, fine. it's just like, you know, is he also the passing game coordinator as well? Or the, you know, and the defensive backs coach? Whatever that role is. The NFL, something else.
Well, I will say this. They are definitely doing things differently over there.
Yes, they are.
These days.
Yes, they are. It feels very different.
Yeah.
So
it really does.
Whole lot of, you know, collaboration going on over there. I know you love that part.
Oh,
so.
I love it. Yeah. Can't get enough of collaboration. it's the only place that collaborates.
Well,
nobody else's workplace collaborates.
They're not saying that. They just do use it a lot. They want to make sure that they're emphasizing that this is a collaborative effort.
We collaborate over here all the time.
Like I said, typically most workplaces collaborate. Yes. Or at least you're supposed to.
Yes.
I understand not all do, and not all situations are created equally, but most places, most businesses, most workspaces collaborate.
Although, I do get the sense now that there is a much more defined role as to
no doubt
who's making the decisions this time around.
Oh, there were things that jumped out at me for sure.
You know, it was like, oh, Okay, gotcha. It's going to be you. All right, gotcha. And that's fine. Listen, I prefer it that way. Listen, this is the clarity we've all been asking for now for about a year and a half anyway. So now we know, okay, that guy's in charge. And that's cool. That's fine with me. That's the way, to me, the franchise is supposed to run anyway. Somebody needs to be in charge.
We got some clips we want to run?
Yeah, we do.
So we can talk about them?
So let's get to Rand Carthen. Of course, Rand Carthen is the, let's just call him the general manager. He's got some other titles here, but let's just say the general manager of the football team. Of course, this is his second draft that he's had with the Titans. This is his second draft.
Number two. Dose.
This is
not Uno, no, but Dose.
Dose draft. But if you ask him, he doesn't quite see it that way.
To me, this year is new. Different system, you know, different head coach. I was talking with Tom Jones, I think earlier today, and I was telling him this is my first draft, you know, because this is a new way of doing things and how we're going to do it. So it's new. It's never unsettling. I've been up since 2:30 this morning, just different things popping your head, and you can't go to sleep, and you grab your phone, and now you're researching to the point where my wife, like, put her hand on my shoulder. She was like, just put it down. You know, and so it's that happens, you know what I mean? And so I'm excited, you know, about the challenge. Excited to help bring, you know, Brian's vision to light.
All right, so there's that.
That very much jumped out at me when he said that.
Yeah, this is his first draft.
Like, oh, again, reiterating.
Yes.
How last year you were more like a warm body in the room. That's, well, at least, you know, that's what it felt like to me when he said that.
He said it. Again, on this show, in so many words.
Oh, he said it many times.
When I got here, you know, the board was pretty much done.
Yeah.
And probably done without his input. So, you know, decisions, you know, once that train starts moving, and listen, most of us have been a part of large companies or large corporations or whatever it is. If you've worked somewhere with, say, more than 200 people on staff or 100 people, it could be 50 people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of people. Once a train has started to move down the track in a certain direction, we've all made the calculus that we're going to do more damage trying to stop this thing versus then just letting it ride to wherever it's going. So, it's my interpretation that when he got here, there was a whole lot of stuff that was already in motion. Not to say he shouldn't have been. You know, he was hired. The draft process can't start when he gets hired. The draft process needed to have been ongoing. So it was ongoing. Then when he got here, he looked at the board and they said, well, you know, jump on in, get in where you fit in. But, you know, we're already going down this road here. So, you know, oh, you want to stop? You know, if we're headed down the road to Lebanon and you want to stop and you want to go to Dixon, well, this is going to be a problem. You got a decision to make. You've gotten in the car. We're already going 85 on I-40 towards Lebanon. And you want to go to Dixon? You got a choice to make. Either you're going to have to disrupt the entire car to make us stop, turn around, and go back down the opposite way down I-40, or you can just wait until we get to Lebanon and say, okay, when I start driving, when we go back, we're going to Dixon, okay? We're going my way because I'm in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think that's Rand Carthen is finally getting a chance to set his own direction here. I think he had a couple of inputs here and there, but by and large, I think we're getting a better sense here.
Didn't feel like it.
By and large. Yeah, you know.
I think you're being very nice.
Listen, he's the guy who's still here, okay?
Yeah.
So,
well, look.
Decisions were made, you know.
Again, it's no different than Bill Belichick. Even with all the winning for a long time.
Yeah.
Look. You do things a certain way. And I used to say this about Mike Vrabel all the time. Look, he can do that as long as he's winning. He can act any way he wants. He can talk about, you know, he can get onto the media about, you know, putting pictures on social media about, you know, sayings that are on the wall in the building when he first got there. You know, worrying about that.
Yeah.
Worrying about just silly stuff. You can do all that. The way he talked to the media, the way he acted sometimes. You can do all that. You can do whatever the heck you want to do as long as you're winning.
Yeah.
As long as you're winning, nobody's going to say a word. You can dictate the draft. You can dictate the hours of operation. You can dictate the food in the cafeteria. You can be a jerk to the media one day and be nicer the next. do things however you want, as long as you're winning. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You can act any way you want. By the way, we have not even discussed the story that was out there this weekend about Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank.
We discussed it with Chris Domino.
Right. You're right. We did.
Yeah. Well,
that's a good point.
He discussed it, yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty crazy story.
It is.
Because it's not like, it's one thing we have a relationship. And I'm like exploring, you know, I'm thinking about dabbling in the TV business, what you do.
Okay.
And I reach out to you. Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Tell me what I'm in for. What do I need to know?
Yeah.
It's another thing at X station.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's another thing for you to reach out to me and say, hey, bro, run far away from that place.
I heard you were thinking about going over here.
Like, oh.
Yeah, don't do that.
Do not.
Don't do that.
Don't even return an email or a phone call. Run.
Have you signed yet?
Don't. Run. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference.
Yeah.
I reach out to you. You're like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you've reached out to me, so.
So here it is.
Here it is. You reach out to me, you know, so you're going to get. Yeah. I'm going to shoot you straight.
If you
want to know.
Me,
right. You want to know? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you. But no, that's not how it went down.
That doesn't seem that way.
I was like, oh, I got a text from Justin. Let me read. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, whoa.
Listen.
Okay.
These NFL ownership relationships, we don't know how deep some of them run. We don't know how many business ties or, you know, all kinds of things. When you're in that club where you own, there's only 32 of these bad boys on the planet. And you have to be a multi-billionaire to own one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the club among them, I would venture to say, has to be pretty tight. Because there's only so many things that you can talk to other people about who would even understand what you're saying.
You're just in a different
You're in a different level. And by the way, you have to vote on things.
Yep.
And, you know, there's TV contracts and all kinds of stuff. They hire and fire the commissioner of football, for goodness sake. You don't think that maybe some conversations are had. What do you want to see in the next commissioner? Well, I've been telling my, you know, people that I want to see this kind of person. I would imagine there's some fairly deep conversations and friendships and relationships that are developed that we don't know anything about. I don't know what kind of relationship Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft have, but I'm just saying they both have owned football teams for a very long time.
Clearly it's pretty good.
Yeah.
For Robert Kraft to feel like he can pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, you might want to rethink that one.
Yeah.
Here's why.
Well, how many people can get one of these people even on the phone? Like to talk.
Know? Well, again, when you're in the club.
You're in the club.
Yeah.
Call me.
And that phone rings, you know where it's coming from.
It's only a handful of people.
Right. There's only a handful of people that got that number.
Yeah.
The bat phone.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I don't know. Again, You can always operate any way you want, but when you operate a certain way and you don't have success, it's just how it works.
Speaking of operating a certain way, there's a lot of players who are hoping to get their name called coming up here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and they have been operating certain ways while they were in the college game. And the way they operated may have led some teams to not want to operate with them. Coming up here this weekend. And Rand Carthen was asked point blank about some of those players. Players that maybe he liked. He liked the tape, liked what he saw. But then when you started looking in the background, maybe you found some things that maybe you didn't like.
Done the research on, and just didn't think that they would be a fit for our building. And not only our building, but this city and this state. And, it's not a lot, you know, but we have removed some players because of that.
not a good fit for our building, the city or the state.
Not a good fit for the building.
It'd be a really good idea. We've taken them off our draft board because we don't feel like they belong in the state.
Yeah. They took it always to the state level.
Ouch.
They are the Tennessee Titans after all. You represent the whole state.
Okay. I'd love to know that list.
You got to wear all three of the stars there at some point. You know, they all represent the three regions of Tennessee there on the flag. So
Yeah. We don't want them in the building.
No.
We don't want them in town.
No.
We don't want them in the state.
No.
So we've taken them off the board.
Off the board. And we really like them.
No, no, actually you don't.
Maybe sound like they like them on the field, at least. They like what they can do. But they don't like, and they don't like some of the other things that come along with them.
Yeah.
So, you know. Look,
there's, I've heard about those guys for a long time from scouts.
Sure.
And typically, you look, they have to have loads of talent or you wouldn't be talking about them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, an average player who's got a ton of baggage, like, give me a break. Like, you're toast.
Yeah, you're toast.
You don't even exist.
Yeah.
You're a complete ghost to everybody's
not on this level.
But if you're really, really talented, but you got all kinds of baggage, this is how that's conversation, you know, and then you have to weigh, is it worth it? Is it not worth it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a tough decision because it depends on how desperate you are.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. He was there. We'll get his thoughts. And we'll do that next as you listen to The McFarland Show, WNSR.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/hands-only CPR and become a lifesaver today.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
And now, Veterans Restoration is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Veterans Restoration, serving Middle Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. For residential or commercial, fire, water, or storm damage restoration, give the pros a call today at 615-838-8407, 615-838-8407. That's Veterans Restoration. They're professionals who care.
It's JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking him off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
The McFarland Show, streaming live on the WNSR app and on WNSR.com.
It's true. You can download that app for free and listen anywhere in the world. You can also go to WNSR.com and listen live as well. Back here on the McFarland Show, Darren and Justin live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio on this gorgeous Tuesday. Don't forget, every day during our show hours, you can watch the show on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. In fact, I got a couple comments yesterday on my Masters pullover that I had on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're like, where did you get it? I'm like, well,
the Masters.
You got to get it from Augusta.
Augusta.
That's how it works.
Straight from Augusta, Georgia.
I mean, maybe there's a secondary market. Maybe there's an underground place you can get. Or maybe the fake, the faux,
oh, yeah,
faux master stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that was authentic, man. I didn't get that in Times Square.
No. No.
Okay. Let's go to our phones. Or let's go to the phone. And let's bring in our man Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, what's going on? Oh, boy.
All right, we've lost him.
Oh, boy.
Let's get him back here. We lost Steve. You know, sometimes from the bowels of Channel 5, he has rough reception. So we'll try to get him back here.
Let me give you a little news. That, again, we've said we're going to bring in Alex Doherty's going to join us. Covers the Preds for the Tennessean in Vancouver. And Rick Tockett. Vancouver's already had their morning skate. Rick Tockett, who is the head coach for the Knuckleheads, said their starting goaltender, Thatcher Demko, is out.
Mm.
For game two tonight.
Mm.
And could be out for the remainder of the season. Or the series.
That can move the line.
And that they will start Casey DeSmith tonight. How about that?
Wow. What a break that could be for the Predators.
So,
I don't know a whole lot about Casey DeSmith.
That
may
have been...
Let's look it up here.
Maybe that may have been... Well, I remember him with the Penguins.
Okay.
I think that's his only playoff game, was one game for the Pens.
He's a vet here, 32 years old.
Yeah, journeyman.
Journeyman, okay. 32 years old, veteran, I see, yeah. Spent most of his career with the Penguins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is only his second team. He's played in 163 games.
I shouldn't say journeyman. That's not the right way to put it. Just a career backup.
Yeah, backup.
Yeah.
It's a backup, you know, in the NFL world, he's a backup quarterback, veteran backup quarterback. So we'll see.
Steve Lehman, News Channel 5 on the line with us. What about that news, huh? Thatcher Demko out tonight for the Knuckleheads. Enter Casey DeSmith, and Demko may be out for the series.
Certainly an interesting development, Darren, for sure. You take it if you're the Preds. You got to find a way to generate some more chances than you got the other night, and you got to find a way to put those chances in the back of the net. Demko's been really good when healthy this year. So if he can't go, obviously tonight changes the complexion there. But the bigger news is if he can't go the rest of the series, I think it changes things a lot.
Yeah.
DeSmith has done some nice things, but to your point, it's not a huge body of work. It's not ever been with the pressure he will now have hoisted upon him for the rest of this series. And so that's a big thing to watch. And then conversely, on the other side, I think it puts increasing pressure on UC Saros, who is 3-8 all time in the playoffs heading into tonight's game. If he now goes against DeSmith the rest of the way in this series, I think it increases the pressure that it's time for him to step up and win the Preds the playoff series.
Steve, I said it yesterday on the show. I was pretty adamant about it. Justin knows. I said, look, I get it. UC Saros has deserved all the praise, but if we're going to hear this every year, like UC Saros for the Vezina, and he's one of the best goaltenders in the league, we're just going to praise all the time, which, again, rightfully so, he deserves it. But he, you know, you also are judged by what you do in the playoffs. And I said yesterday, it is time for him to step up and start stealing a game or two for this team like Pekka did over the years. Like, it is time for him to steal a game. It's time for him to steal a couple of games. Pekka did it. It's time for him to do it, especially, obviously, I didn't know this yesterday, considering the news that we've learned. So now you go from, a Demko who had a guy who's going to be in the Vezina Trophy discussion, right, this season, to now a guy who's been nothing but just a backup most of his career. Woo! That is, I mean, you're talking about something being tight in Vancouver right now. I'd say there's a lot of tight things in the back of people right now with those Vancouver fans.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask any further about that. But yeah. I do know what you're saying.
Let your imagination wander on that.
I'm just going to move forward here. But I think from the Saros perspective,
good man.
To be fair, guys, his team that he's been in the playoffs with the last couple of times didn't look anything like the teams that Pekka Rinne often stole games for during their playoff runs. They weren't very good. But at some point, you got to be that guy that does steal a game here or there. And Sunday night was a perfect opportunity. That was a game where the Preds didn't play their best necessarily. Obviously, you could use some more offensive punch, especially from the top line. But the Canucks didn't find their best game on Sunday night either. And so that was a game that was there for the taking. And that's absolutely the type of game that Pekka in his prime won for you, because he didn't let in the soft goal to start the second period. Maybe he finds that puck through the screen in the middle of the third period, or just comes up with a save that you don't necessarily expect, but he gets for you. UC Saros has done that a lot in his career. He's yet to really do it in the playoffs, and at some point he's going to have to do it to continue to be considered in that top echelon of goaltenders around the league.
No doubt. Let's transition to what took place about an hour and a half ago over at the Titans facility. The general manager, Rand Carthon, the new head coach, Brian Callahan, talking to the media, a little pre-draft presser. Who do you think are the players that Rand Carthon doesn't want in their building, in this city, or in this state? Any idea?
Ooh, that's an interesting question, and I'll be honest, I've been doing so much since they were talking that I didn't exactly spend a lot of time on that. If you throw out some names, we could guess, but
I was just having fun with it. Like, I was like, wow, okay. He's like, yeah, we've taken them off the board. Yeah, I hope so. You don't even want them in the state. I hope you took them off your board.
That's a very good point. I wasn't totally sure, just listening to it at the time, whether he meant at the very top of the board, like top-end draft prospects where we'd all know, or just guys in general throughout the course of the process that they just eliminated that maybe you wouldn't necessarily know their names. But that tells you the due diligence, right? I mean, this whole process started long before Brian Callahan and the coaching staff were even known to be Tennessee Titans targets. This goes back last summer. It's more than 500 scouting visits around the country. It's more than 400 interviews that they've done here during the draft process. And you get set to make all of, what, 7 picks over 3 days that you hope can be the foundation for the future. There's a ton of work that goes into it. And I guarantee you, every red flag that is out there, they have uncovered, and maybe they've even created a few.
Do you buy that they're, you know, well, buy. You know, this is where things just start swirling. You know, we're days out from the first round taking place in Detroit on Thursday night. But what about the people that are starting to float out there that they could trade back? They could be a trade back candidate. Are you buying that at all?
I am buying it if the circumstances fall the right way. I know I've told you guys probably every time I've been on with you for the last 2 months that my pick is Joe Alt. I think that's a slam dunk. He's the best prospect at left tackle. He's ready made to step in and start in the National Football League. And the biggest concern I've had about the Titans over the last 2 years has been the offensive line, but in particular, the blindside protection of your quarterback who kept finding his way to his backside seemingly 5-6 times a game, every game for 2 years, no matter who he was, because no matter who the left tackle was, he couldn't block a legit pass rusher in the NFL. To me, that has to be the focus, and if Alt's there, he's the pick. But here's the thing. I think it's possible that Jim Harbaugh wants to start his process in Los Angeles with the Chargers in the trenches, just like he did at Michigan, and that Alt could be their pick. And if Alt's off the board already as you're looking at 7, I think there's a significant drop then to the next few prospects that could be tackled. I still think they're good, but I think those guys' value is more in like the picks 12 to 18 type of range. And so if that happens, I absolutely could see a scenario where the Titans would think, all right, let's back up a little bit here. Let's go to 11 or 14 or wherever we could get, and maybe pick up that third-round pick or maybe even a second-round pick, a second-round pick that gives you 2 picks on Friday. Because right now, remember, they go from 38 all the way to 106 on Saturday. I know they would love to fix that if they could. And so if that scenario strikes, I could see them trying to get the haul for more assets, because as much as you need a left tackle, and they do, They've got to get him. I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't come in the first round somewhere. But if it isn't going to be Alt, I would be really tempted to seeing who the trade partners would be and what you could get if you could get another Friday pick and maybe a couple more picks in the draft or another first rounder next year or something like that to sweeten the pot for it and still ultimately get a left tackle there in the first round.
What do you make of Rand Carthen's comments that he feels like this is his first draft? And he didn't say it that way, but he said he was telling someone else, you know, that this is his first draft because it's a brand new coaching staff and, you know, brand new way of doing things and all of that. But, you know, it's me and Darren kind of feel like it's a little bit more of a loaded answer than just that.
Yeah, I maybe didn't read quite as much into it, Justin, and I think his exact words were just that it feels new because of the new coaching staff that is in place. He's been through draft processes before in San Francisco, and obviously he was in charge of it here last year in Tennessee, but you got to learn new people, right? And in this case, you also now have completely new systems. The Titans offense and what they're drafting for on Thursday night is completely different than the offense they were drafting for last year. And same thing on the defensive side of the ball. And so that does take some adjustment. I know even in the process with the scouts, they started last summer thinking that this was Mike Vrabel's and Shane Bowen's defense, and it was a run-heavy offense that they've had in past years, and that's where they began the scouting process from last May and June as they were looking at college guys. And obviously they had to do a significant pivot when you get to January. Now all of a sudden Brian Callahan's in there, Denard Wilson is your defensive coordinator. They're quick studies. They're able to do that, but it is a very different looking process. And so I understand that standpoint, that it feels very new, and it probably will right up until they get into that room, they start making the picks, it becomes familiar again, and then you get through it all and you kind of reassess what it was like this year, and then you're going to feel like your process is fully set for next year and draft number two of this entire regime.
A little interesting where they took some questions on NIL today and, you know, how that affects their particular game. It did catch me that I believe they said only 54 underclassmen were going to be in this year's draft, which, you know, is pretty unbelievable compared to what we saw just a few years ago, which means you could get a very different player this time around here, Steve, coming out of this draft than you would have just 3 to 4 years ago.
Well, you got to think, Justin, if you're not a first or a second round pick, you might be taking a pay cut if
yeah.
you go into the draft at this point. If you're a junior from a Power 5 program, especially a program that really values football. And so a lot of those guys are coming back to school for one more go-around and the guaranteed NIL money that comes with it before taking their leap into the draft. And I do think it changes it. One, I think there's probably a little less or a little lower upside in the last couple of rounds of the draft. I think some of those guys who were just done with school in the past and thought, I'm going to go see what I can do in the NFL, who are maybe fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, guys you'd see on day three that ultimately make the roster. I think your talent pool there may be a little bit lower than what it's been. But the other side of that is now you're getting guys who've been in school for 4 years and 5 years. And so you're getting a few more mature guys, I think, going into the process now, or at least they're getting more consideration because those other younger guys aren't coming out quite as much. And the other thing Rand Carthon said to that question, Justin, mm-hmm. was the fact that because these guys have seen money in college, because they've dealt with million-dollar, let's call them salaries, in college, they've had to grow up. They've had to become a little bit more worldly of what it means to, you know, pay your taxes for the income you have at the end of the year and how to operate when you've got this much money coming in per month. And I think that leads to a little different player. I think it leads to some more maturity, and that probably helps as they try to navigate the waters of who exactly these guys are and how they fit into the building as people and not just as football players.
Yeah, you know, Rand Carthen, of course, he played at a big-time university himself, talking about what he got in college. You know, I think he said $288 a week or something like that for
It was $888.
Yeah. Okay, $888 a week versus $20,000 a month.
Was it a week or a month?
For Rand Carthen?
Yeah, $888.
I thought he said a week. It may have been a month, though.
I think it was a month.
I think it was $888 a month.
A month, yeah.
Compared it to the guys getting $20,000.
That's
a real scenario, guys. I mean, that is absolutely a real scenario with some of these guys. So, one, you see why some of them, if they're projected as day three guys, why they'd want to go back to school next year. And two, that is a lot of money to handle when you're 20 and 21 years of age, and I think that does help the growth process for some
of
the
a lot of money when you're 40 and 41 and 48 age of age.
No question.
I mean, that's a lot of money, period, no matter where you are on that particular scale. But I would imagine it does create something else for these folks to investigate. Like, what did you do with that money? What did you get involved in or not get involved in? To me, it may open up a whole other avenue of investigation and homework that these teams need to do now.
Yeah, they didn't talk about that specifically, but both Rand Carthen and Brian Callahan basically summed that point up like this, Justin. They said, we believe good character people end up doing the same things, whether they have money or not. And so we find it that if you've got good character and you come into money, whether that be in college or whether that be signing a contract in the NFL, 9 times out of 10, I think was the number that Carthen used, you're going to continue to make good decisions. And if you've got bad character, then it's probably just going to be exemplified when you have money, that you're going to now do things that are questionable and make us question where your commitment is and where your head is during those things. And then Carthen did point out, again, to your point, that I know plenty of 50-year-olds that are bad with their money too. So it's not just about 18, 19, 20-year-old guys going into the draft. But, yeah, I think especially as this becomes more prevalent, guys, I think teams probably will open up a few new avenues of how they check out what these guys are doing. And I don't know if that's what car they're driving around campus or where they lived on campus or how many times they went out and put the Amex card on the table for the entire football team at some dinner. I don't know exactly how they're going to go about that, but I do think that they will look into some of that to just see how wild and crazy some of these guys got when they got these wild and crazy NIL deals.
All right, leave us with this. Do you think ultimately it's going to come down to Joe Waldo's going to be sitting there and they're going to take him? Do you think there's going to be somebody's going to snatch him? Like, how do you think this is ultimately going to play out?
I think the Chargers are really the linchpin there, Darren. They're the one team that I see that would take Alt in front of the Titans. Other than that, I don't think that's going to happen. I think people would move up there would be doing it for a quarterback and not Alt. So I think the Chargers are really the question of whether they decide they want to take the preeminent left tackle in the draft, and that could change things from the Titans' perspective. And so, to me, if it's Alt sitting there, I think Joe Alt is the pick for the Titans. If Joe Alt isn't there, I would say that there's probably a better than likely chance that they end up moving down, because especially listening to Carthen talk today, he said he's had feelers on the 7th pick and that, quote, he owes it to the team to listen to all of those potential offers and see about the possibilities of adding more assets in the draft or being able to move up into round 3 on day 2. So I think that's a real possibility too. But he also finished that answer, guys, by saying, or he was asked this, are there guys who could be on the board that would eliminate the possibility of you trading down? And he said, in a word, yes. And so to me, that tells me that a guy like Alton, who knows, maybe if Marvin Harrison somehow slides to 7, they unequivocally take him, no questions asked. So I do think there are a few guys on the board like that. I think Alt is the most likely guy, but I do think that there's a real shot, if those guys aren't on the board, that a trade could happen on Thursday night.
I thought the Chargers already had their left tackle. Isn't Rashawn Slater a former first-round pick and 25 years old? I mean, would they really be in the market for a left tackle?
I just know that with I mean, I've seen it mocked by people, and I know this about Jim Harbaugh. He values the trenches so much.
Yep.
Now, he built his team at San Diego. It's how he built his team at Stanford. It's how he built his team at Michigan. And I think it's how he did it at the 49ers as well. One of the other questions that you never know with these guys, and even Brian Callahan said today, he didn't give much information on this, is how do you view guys as tackle prospects? Are they solely a left tackle? Are there guys in this draft who are solely right tackles? Or can you move guys across the line in terms of the tackle position? Do they view Alt as a guy like that? I don't know. But I do think that there is some scuttlebutt about the Chargers loading up on their offensive line. And so, to me, they're the one that could be the kink in what looks at the moment like a very likely path where it's quarterback, 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 wide receiver, all that, down to the Titans, and probably Joe Alt sitting there.
Hmm. Steve, appreciate it as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll see how it all shakes out.
You bet, guys. Sounds good.
Steve Lehman. Yep, News Channel 5. Great stuff as always from him. We'll come back. We'll get our question of the week, and we'll continue our discussion as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
And now, Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways and keep an eye out for motorcycles and never drink and drive. This message is brought to you by locally owned and operated Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, our full-service body shop. So give the pros a call today at 615-593-5699. 615-593-5699. That's Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, going the extra mile for safety. They're professionals who care.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
The Atlanta Braves are back with a loaded roster of young talent and some new faces in the A. It's going to be another wild season.
1-1 launch deep down the left field line. This might get out of here. Say goodbye to that one.
Tonight, don't miss a minute of Atlanta Braves baseball as the Braves take on division rivals the Miami Marlins live from Truist Park.
Pregame coverage begins at 6:05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, we'll have plenty of sunshine, high 76. Partly cloudy, can't rule out a shower tonight, low 56. Wednesday, sunny, high 74. Sunny Thursday, high 76. Utilizing the resources of the Motherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
McFarland Show rolling along here on this Tuesday afternoon. We're live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Darren and Justin here with you. DJ Damon is alongside. In the second hour, we're going to head out to Vancouver and get a little update on Game 2. There's an interesting development out there.
Huge.
Thatcher Demko, the starting goaltender for the Knuckleheads, is out tonight. Had a very, very good season. Is out and could be out for the series. So that could change a lot of things. So we'll talk with Alex here in just a moment. You know what time it is here on this Tuesday? We do this every week. Damon, hit it. Now it's time for the Opinionated Larry Question of the Week. Sponsored by buyandtow.com. Call 615-480-6473. Get cash in your hand today and that vehicle hauled away.
All right, on the phone right now is Opinionated Larry. Good afternoon, good sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing okay, man. Are you enjoying this wonderful Tuesday out there?
Beautiful day. I found myself downtown having lunch.
Okay.
And I said, well, I said, wish my guys were here with me right now. Tacos, Coca-Cola, whatever you have it on me. But go ahead. What's our question now?
Tacos.
He just thought he would throw that in there.
And yeah, all that stuff there.
Yeah, all right. Now I'm starving.
No, a big name, Larry, of course. we are getting set to go for the NFL draft, and because of that, one of the things that likes to happen in the NFL draft is, of course, the SEC teams like to compete with each other because they want to see who's going to get the most amount of players drafted here because it helps them with their next class and all of that. So, Payne, Larry, we know you're a huge UT fan. The big question for this week is, who's the SEC rival that you hate the most as a UT fan?
Everybody knows Alabama is the most hated team in the SEC by far. It's not even close. So if UT could get one player drafted in any position before Alabama does, it's a win. Any win, any small incremental win is a win for UT. If they get anything past Alabama, Alabama's been great. Of course, everybody knows that. But UT, is a better team. Alabama's an evil empire, and you know that, guys. Alabama is the evil empire, and everybody in the country, I believe even the Alabama fans know that. But guys, Alabama, of course, by far.
Not Florida, not Georgia.
Okay, hold on. That's what Alabama. I want to. I got to follow up. Just out of morbid curiosity, who's number two? Yeah.
There's nobody close. There's only Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Nobody close.
What about Florida?
Florida, Georgia.
Florida Gators. I could find myself, as a UT purist, I could find myself even cheering for Georgia. Maybe. In a bizarro, different universe.
Yeah.
I could see for Georgia. But Florida and Alabama, I don't want to say that.
Just can't do it.
Hey, guys, I know you guys are keeping up with the NBA. Let me know what's going on with the NBA and how all the teams are flopping around and what the big mess is. You guys, I'm listening to the show. Thank you guys for calling. You guys are awesome. Lunch on me next week. I'll be there early.
All okay. Right. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I got that recorded too, Larry.
Got that recorded. There we go.
How about the choke job by the 76ers last night?
Well, I mean,
yikes.
That was a little scary.
Lakers down 0-2.
Oh, the Lakers are heartbreaking.
LeBron is complaining about the officiating.
Well, he shouldn't miss wide open shots, and you know.
Wow.
What happened? What'd I say? What'd I say? Did I say something? Did I say something infatuous? Did I say something untrue?
The claws are out.
Did I say something untrue? Did I say something slanderous against LeBron James? I don't think I did.
Hey, we saw a visiting team win finally last night.
Yes, we did.
Vegas went to Dallas and won.
Yes, yes, and then got that done on the ice there. So yeah, that's gonna make for
but NBA, you know, no, right?
No, I don't.
Still no visiting.
See, the Knicks won last night.
Yeah, the Nuggets
won. And I don't think any.
No, and Cleveland won. So yeah, all the home teams won.
Home teams win again.
So they're 8-0 in the NBA playoffs.
In the NBA playoffs thus far.
And you had Boston lose, so Toronto won in NHL, and Vegas won. So two road wins finally.
Two road wins, but still working for the first NBA win. Yep. Go ahead and cap us off there.
All right. Appreciate Larry, as always. That Opinionated Larry segment brought to you by buyandtow.com. You can give them a call, 615-480-6473. Get cash in your hand today and that vehicle hauled away. Come back, wrap up hour number one. We'll do the next.
Pick a number between 0 and 9. That's right. Now pick another one. Right again. Now pick one more. Wow, you're on a roll. Now, if you only would have played them. Play your lucky numbers today with 3 daily drawings and top prizes of $500 to $5,000. And add Wild Ball for more winning combos. Cash 3 and Cash 4, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, moolah-making fun. Please play responsibly.
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the 5th year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
Do you ever feel like gambling is causing financial strain or hurting your relationships? The Gambling Clinic has been helping people who want to change their gambling habits for over 2 decades. With physical clinics and remote online appointments, we're here to help you make informed decisions about your gambling so it doesn't lead to a bigger problem. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com so we can work together to help you win your life back. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Hey, this is George Plaster. Looking forward to joining the WNSR family Monday, April the 29th with Kelly Holcomb, Watson Brown, and Billy Derrick. We'll continue to broadcast from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, but now we have the ability to take your phone calls. 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, April 29th. We'll get it started. Hope you'll join us on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
615-844-5600. That's how you get in touch with us. We are the McFarlands. And we're live in the Strike a Spare Family Fun Center studio. It's good to be Caitlin Clark. We told you that she had struck a deal with Nike. Mm-hmm. The terms have come out. It's a little bit, remember we said it's a little bit north of $20 million. Well, it's $28 million to be exact.
Okay.
Her Nike deal.
Nice.
So it's, I think it's over, what was it, 7 or 8 years, I think.
Okay.
Maybe 7 years.
Okay.
So probably 4 per year.
4 per year, not bad.
So Caitlin Clark's Nike deal, the terms did come out. $28 million. I'm trying to think some other stuff that I've seen. By the way, I want to pass this programming note along. tomorrow in the first hour. In fact, it'll be at 2:15. New Vanderbilt basketball coach Mark Byington will join us.
Very cool.
Because he's assembling his staff and trying to get things ready for his new job. So he's been busy, and now he's going to join us tomorrow at 2:15. So looking forward to that.
Very, very cool. Looking forward to that. And it should be interesting to see what they can do year one. That first year is always so important with setting the foundation. But, you know, in this NFL, we've been talking a lot of NFL, but in this day and age of college sports, I guess every year can be year one, essentially, since there's so much turnover now. So, excited to hear his ideas and his thoughts. I really am about how he's approaching this. Interesting job.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be on tomorrow's program. We talked about I've seen the Chargers. I kind of feel like I've said this, and I'm not going to get off of it. You don't lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and not draft. And everybody says this wide receiver class is really good and really deep.
Yeah.
Well, who's to say that the Chargers, and I get it, Jim Harbaugh does love a really good offensive line. But again, Rashawn Slater is a first-round pick by them. He played at Northwestern. He was the 13th pick overall. He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would go with Joe Alt. I think why can't they go first two picks? Wide receiver. They just lost two premier players.
It would make sense. But again, the draft is about silly season. Somebody coming up this weekend is going to do something that's not going to make any sense to anybody. It happens every year. They make a draft pick that you go, why would they do that?
I think Giants are more of the wild card than the Chargers. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two of the McFarland Show next.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Just over a week before Florida's six-week abortion ban goes into effect, President Biden in Tampa today criticizing his opponent, Donald Trump, for what he calls the nightmare in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision that ended Roe v. Wade and now lets states decide.
It shouldn't matter where in America you live. This isn't about states' rights. It's about women's rights.
Abortion is a hot-button issue for this year's election. Pennsylvania voters at the polls today for primary races, including the presidential race. Authorities in West Covina, California, say a suspect has been arrested in connection with the shooting of an L.A. County sheriff's deputy on his motorcycle at a light last night. The deputy was wearing a bulletproof vest and is in stable condition. And the Pentagon says two drones were shot down at an air base in western Iraq where U.S. troops are stationed. A U.S. official says Iranian-backed militias are likely responsible. This is ABC News.
The Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
NSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world-famous bar-lined grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the bar-lined grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
You can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Drop me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour rolling along. Don't forget tonight, Braves baseball, 6:20, first pitch. They're at home hosting the Marlins. Coverage will begin at 6:05. First pitch, 6:20. Max Fried on the hill for the Bravos. Rogers taking the bump for Miami. So that's your coverage tonight here on WNSR. Did you see where Aaron Boone was ejected for the Yankees?
I did.
From the heckler?
Yeah, because of the
home
fan.
Home plate umpire thought it was, I guess, him?
Yeah.
He was getting heckled?
Yeah.
And he threw out Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone and the umpire had a disagreement at, you know, a few minutes before.
Yeah.
And Aaron Boone had gone back to his corner. He's pouting a little bit or whatever. But then all of a sudden, the umpire turns with fire in his eyes and throws him out of the game. And Aaron Boone pleads his case. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. And it turns out it wasn't him.
No, it was a fan.
It was a fan. And the umpire was not looking, had his face turned, wasn't looking, and thought for sure it was something that Aaron Boone had said to him.
Do we know what the fan was saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that anywhere.
I've seen his lips moving, but I haven't been able to make out what he said. So, and we don't know what the conversation was before, because, you know, that's how these things work. You know, like, you know, if you don't know the before, then whatever he says may not make sense without knowing what the conversation between Boone and the umpire actually was. So, which, you know, he may have been close enough to actually hear whatever it is they were talking about, which is why maybe he yelled whatever he yelled at that umpire. It was enough to get him tossed, though. Aaron Boone, that is. Not the fan. He was enjoying the game.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, he didn't really enjoy it. The Yankees lost 2-0.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I still crack up just thinking about it.
I just wonder if the umpire is actually going to issue or has issued an apology in any way, shape, or form to Aaron
probably
Boone.
Not. Well, probably not.
Because surely he or somebody he knows has seen this and told him.
Oh, it's viral. It's everywhere.
Hey, man, you know that really wasn't Aaron Boone who said whatever that said. It wasn't? Nah, man, it's all over TV, man.
I would say the lineup card meeting will be interesting today, tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I understand. You know, there's...
Something has to be said.
Yeah. Be a little,
like, you can't ignore it.
No.
Now, that guy won't be behind home plate, but he'll still be part of that crew.
Absolutely.
They move around, they rotate.
And the question is, who brings it up first?
Well, I think we know who that's going to be. I think.
I don't know.
Maybe Aaron Boone's like, let's see if he says anything to me.
Never know.
Yeah, you're right.
That's where the interpersonal relationships go on. Because you never know. Like, if tonight's home plate umpire is really tight with that guy, do you really want to say something to him that kind of, I don't know. Maybe you let it lie, take the high ground, wait for him to bring it up. But then if he doesn't bring it up, now you're really going to bring it up?
You'll probably say, hey, dude, by the way, sorry about last night. I didn't know you weren't the one. I just want to throw out a little apologies. Let's play ball.
I don't know. I don't know the guy, so I don't know what if he's going to or not. Like, you never know. Like,
maybe
do they have history?
Maybe a regular box of
chocolates. That's the other thing. Chocolates
is the flowers.
Listen, we don't know if they had a history. Aaron Boone played baseball a really long time.
He's been in the game for a long time.
And these umpires, ump the games for really long periods of time. We don't know how long this guy's been an umpire or what kind of interactions they've had over the years. We have no idea. So, you know, the history, I don't know. It's interesting to think about. If I was the manager,
I don't think I would bring it up before the game. Maybe after. See if we
No, they won't talk after.
No.
No, it's got to be before the game.
No. Plus, you're going to see these guys again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just April. You're going to see these guys, you know, you may see these guys next week.
Yeah.
In Cleveland or wherever they're going to be. I mean, you never know who you're going to run into.
What happens if they run into each other at a restaurant? That would be interesting.
Don't know.
Winter meeting.
Don't know.
So, okay. we'll see.
By the way, the Phillies are in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Without Bryce Harper.
Oh.
Because he is on paternity leave.
Ah,
his wife just delivered a baby.
There you go.
In Nashville.
Oh.
I don't know how many people know that.
Oh. Although
apparently they have a home here.
Who doesn't?
I know.
We do this once a month.
I know.
Can't surprise me with who lives here.
But I guess he's got a home. I think he lives here in the off season.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Harper lives here in the off season.
Okay. Yeah. Why not? Sure. So does everybody else. You know, it's the off-season playground.
But I do think it's interesting that he works and plays in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's from Las Vegas, and they had their third child in Nashville.
It happens like that. People come visit, then they move out here, right. As they say in the song.
But I mean,
we're talking about a different city in that song. But anyway. Listen, again. Mason Crosby's kicking field goals down at Battleground. What?
I know. You're right.
Mason Crosby's going for 55 yarders. What is he doing here? He has no background here. He didn't grow up in the high school here. Nothing. He's just out here. That's Nashville. That's just, it's crazy what we have become. This little city that you and I, you know, have become very acquainted with over the last 30 years. It took me a minute. Trust me. It took me a long time to understand where we lived. Because I thought I knew where we lived, but then I got acquainted with the other things happening in the city. Then I was like, oh, we live that place. I didn't know we lived that place. And so once you wrap your head around that, I didn't know we lived in a place where people save up money all year long to come to sleep on the sidewalk outside of their favorite venue. I didn't know... they're in awe. They see the Ryman. They're in awe. I was like, what's the Ryman? Yeah, it's been there for years. I've been waiting all my life to see the Ryman. Really? You've been waiting all your life to see the Ryman? I mean, they're, you know, we lived in that place. We do.
By the way, I don't know if that's public. A little birdie had told me.
Again.
I know it is 100% true. I don't know if that's out there. I know that the Phillies announced that he was not going to be playing in Cincinnati against the Reds because he's on paternity leave. And I don't know if it was publicly out there but again, I think he's got a house here. I think he lives here. I think he's got houses in all those spots I told you. Probably one in Philly, one in Vegas, and one here.
You know what I heard? I heard the umpire at last night's Yankees game and Aaron Boone actually live next to each other here in Nashville.
Could be.
That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true, but in the offseason, they're neighbors.
But you're just kind of throwing that out there, having fun. I wasn't throwing that out there, having fun. It happened. It's just crazy, though. Again, it's just crazy. Who's Kenny, the mailman. I was trying to segue.
Kenny knows.
I failed at the segue. I was trying to come up with something clever.
If anybody knows who lives here.
Kenny is one.
Kenny,
yes.
The mailman.
That would have been
sure
the segue.
Could drop us knowledge on that.
Thank you. Kenny, what's up?
Greetings, one and all. How are you?
Hey,
great.
Kenny.
How are you?
Make sure Damon is listening, because this is a fan story about me I'm not 100% proud of, but it's true.
All right.
Are you ready?
Damon is listening.
In the early 80s, Belmont played in Strip and Gym, and a lot of the games, they'd only have 200 or 300 people at the game. Do y'all remember those days?
I was not here in the 80s, so no.
No, I don't.
A team called Freed Hardeman.
I was here, yes, sir.
And
Freed Hardeman.
I've seen high school games with more people there, but I was sitting right behind Freed Hardeman's bench. They were in foul trouble late in the game, and the coach called the last guy on the bench, take his uniform off, come over, Chet. His name was Chet. he was having to tell him everything to do in the minute game. I mean, everything. Tie your shoes tighter. Don't bring it up unless you have to. Everything. He went down the court once. Then the next time he got it, I yelled as loud as I could, "Chet, call timeout!" And he did.
Oh, no.
And everybody on the floor, the stands,
wow,
the sidelines turned around and looked at me. And I just shrugged my shoulders and said, he didn't have to listen. So, yeah, I caused a timeout during the game.
Oh, so he got they awarded them the timeout?
Oh, yeah, he called timeout. I mean, it wasn't like he couldn't say he didn't, but they turned around and looked at me, and I just shrugged my shoulders and said that he didn't have to listen to me.
He heard a voice.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just glad I didn't get thrown out. Have a great day.
All right, Kenny, thank you. That's great.
Did he tell Chris Webber to call that timeout?
Wow.
Too, back in the day?
Man, you're on a roll today.
What?
Bows and arrows.
Man, what Justin. Justin,
what did I say?
Here,
did I say something? What did I say?
I need some.
Ask the simple question. It's the timeout. He's telling the timeout story.
It's feeling hot in here.
You know, there's all those videos of people signaling Chris Webber to call the timeout. And they're saying that, you know, he saw it and, you know, decided to.
I don't mind Frisky, Justin. I don't mind it.
You better leave the Fab Five alone now. They don't, you know.
Listen, I'm not messing with them.
Again.
I'm just asking the question.
Okay, all right.
I'm not talking. Again, stop me when I said something that's untrue. Did I say something untrue?
We need to take a break. When we come back, Justin will roast someone else.
No, I'm not roasting
on the other
people.
Side.
Just
we'll figure
questions.
Out who it is as you listen to the McFarland Show on WSR.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
Attention business owners. WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
And now, Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC. They're professionals who care.
It's a Bill King Show.
Interestingly enough, Jerry Curtis
Adam, I'm sure you saw this. Over the past week, has committed to Georgia. And depending on the recruiting service, he's either the top-ranked quarterback in his class, and in one of the services, they've got him ranked the top overall player regardless of position.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening live from the Strike and Spare Studios, downtown Music City. It's the McFarland Show.
Having fun on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. We'll head to Vancouver coming up here very soon. We'll find out about Game 2. They'll drop the puck a little bit after 9 o'clock tonight at Rogers Arena. Predators trying to even up the series as Thatcher Demko has been ruled out for tonight's game and may be ruled out for the series due to an injury. So we'll talk to Alex Doherty here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Covers the Preds for the Tennessean. Okay. Titans had their pre-draft presser today.
Yes.
Of course, the draft starts on Thursday in Detroit, Thursday night. The Titans will be drafting 7th overall. Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan talked to the media today.
Yes, they did. They talked about the draft board. They say it's pretty much set. They pretty much have done all their meetings. They've written around 1,500 draft reports to put together this particular board. Rand Carthon talked about the fact that they believe they've got all the scenarios set.
You know, in there. And like I said, we have a strategy. We know, you know, what should be available for us, you know, particularly in the early round of where we're picking and have an idea of what we want to do. So the way we separate it is basically looking at the board, letting the board speak to us. But then there's other factors that go in, you know, the football character, the personal character, the medical, you know, all those things. So, you know, when you pick that early, you want as clean a player as possible.
Bill's had some very good success with right tackles, collegiate right tackles playing on the left. Are there guys amongst the top tackles here who you see as strictly right tackles?
There's probably some that are, yes. There's also a handful that I think are able to play both sides, and really most tackles these days have to be able to play both sides. They get cross-trained. Even the starters get cross-trained because you never know how you're going to have to move your pieces around. So I think it's you're not getting boxed in very often. The other side of it is that you still need two good tackles in the NFL because most NFL teams have two good rushers, and a lot of the premier rushers rush on the right side. And so there's value in both sides, I guess is the best way to put it. And there is guys that may fit better at right. There's guys that may be more natural at left, but that doesn't necessarily preclude them from any role as a left tackle or right tackle. You sort of determine that when you get your hands on them and see what kind of role they're going to fit for you. But at the end of the day, you need two good tackles, and that's the hope is you have as many of them as you can find, and usually there's some flexibility in the position.
All right, so a couple things from that. Number one, they feel like I don't think they're trading down. That's what I got. They've done a lot of work building themselves around number 7. I don't think you would have to come with the mother load for them to move on from number 7. And I know they want a third round pick really bad, but I don't know if they're moving on from 7. I think 7 is way too good of a number for them to want to move on from. And the way they have their expectations set up, they don't see themselves being this high again for a good while. So, and that's the case, then how often do you get the chance to get a top 10 pick if you want to be some good? Well, they've got their chance here to get one. That's number one. Number two, the offensive line issue, I don't, based on what I'm hearing them say, I don't think they believe they've got either one of their starting tackles on this team right now, whether it's at left or right. And you know, the right side, you've got Nicholas Petitfiere, I believe, and then you got Jalen Duncan, who's played a little bit over there. They're the holdovers from the last team. I know they've signed a veteran, and you know, but then again, they have to inflate the roster for camp. We know that. So how many of these guys are camp bodies, and how many of these guys are thought of as legit players?
Who's the guy they traded 7th round pick from the Browns?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I mean,
who
not
you're
his name,
about.
But I mean, is he? I don't remember which position is he, a right tackle?
he's a tackle. I don't know if he's right or left.
Is he a flexible guy? Well, if he's a tackle, then
yeah.
I'm sure he can play right.
You would think.
I'm just saying, I think they probably feel like with Callahan on staff as the offensive line coach,
yeah,
right, dad,
yeah,
that they probably have their right tackle in place. Now, I don't know.
On the roster.
Yeah, on the roster.
Okay.
Because why would you trade, give up a seventh round pick if you didn't think that there's, he didn't factor into the plan somehow, some way?
Yeah.
Are you giving up a seventh round pick for depth? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The disadvantage that we are at right now, Darren, for the first time in our entire careers here since the beginning, pretty much, is we don't know what the thought is in the building anymore. We don't, because the building is new and the thinking patterns are new. You know, all the Titans, you know, this is, and people can call and talk to us about it or whatever, but from the time we got here in 98 all the way through last year, no matter which, you know, era of Titans you want to plug in there, the thought process really wasn't all that different. It was some version of run the ball and stop the run at the core of it. At the core of it, that's what it was. For the first time in a long time, it's not. And what does that mean now for the offensive line play, for you know, for the defense? Where's the priority now? I don't know. And we won't know until we get through a full season here. But I mean, and listen, you were there with me. Would you agree? Like, to me, from 98 until last season, whether it was Jeff Fisher or Mike Mularkey or whoever it was, Mike Vrabel, of course, stopped the ball. No, stop the ball. Run the ball and stop the run, essentially, was the core message of the football team. And this year, it is not. That is not the case. So what does that mean? I'm not sure.
I think there's been two cosmic shifts in the 25 years of professional sports in this town when it comes to hockey and football. The first one is what you're speaking of. We've had 24 years of basically, you can take away a name and put in a slide in a new name.
Yeah.
It's the same philosophy.
Basic philosophy.
For 24 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Fair? We know that.
Yes.
Brian Callahan has completely
none of those things.
That has been ripped up.
Nope.
Put in the shredder, thrown in the trash bin, or flushed down the toilet.
He is none of those things.
None of those things. I think the other one is the hiring of Peter Laviolette. Barry Trotz was the coach for a very, very long time. And when you know, if you remember, when Peter Laviolette got here, Dave Poyle started making some kaboom trades.
Yeah.
He was then constructing a different roster all around Peter Laviolette's system, different than what we had been accustomed to for the last, 16 years under Barry Trotz.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And it's, I don't think it was to the degree of what we're talking about. Like,
no.
This is completely different.
It really is.
This is the football side of things. This is where football is today.
Yeah.
It's just not where it's been in this market.
No.
And so they're trying to do things where football is today. Peter Laviolette's system was definitely different. And, you know, the trade, you know, he comes right in, David Poyle on draft day trades for James Neal. And, you know, you start getting the Ryan Johansson, just things, big trades that he never was doing on Barry Trotz's watch.
Yeah.
That he was doing for Peter Laviolette because he was trying to construct a different type of roster. I don't think it's the same kaboom as
not quite
the one on the football side of things. And now we've got Barry Trotz as a general manager, and we're still trying to navigate those
still
waters,
feeling it out.
It's how different
it
has it been? David
Poyle. It does
look a
little different. They're scoring more.
Well, look, it's different because of what I've been saying this whole year. Barry Trotz was on a bench for 24 years. Coaching with or against these guys. So he's got a better understanding and a better look than any general manager could have in the league that doesn't have his experience coaching the last 24 years in the league. That's invaluable.
Yeah.
So, but we're still trying to navigate, like, how different is it than what David Poyle did for 24 years here?
Yeah. Right? Sure.
I don't. So to me, that's why I say the two cosmic shifts are,
yeah,
number one is definitely the football side. And the other one, when we had to say, wow, okay, they're doing things differently, is when they hired Peter Laviolette.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of wait.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of wait and see,
yeah,
how the Barry Trotz differs from David Poyle as the general manager.
Yeah, it's more of a remix or a hybrid shift versus the Titans, they're doing a complete overhaul.
It's a complete overhaul. All right, we'll come back. We'll head to Vancouver. We'll talk about game two tonight with our guy Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, and we'll do that next here on the McFarland Show, WNSO.
And now, Ramirez's Handyman in Framing is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please go to USO.org and locate Military Care Package to see how you could help make a difference today. This message is brought to you by Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. For all your residential or commercial framing, roofing, siding, and handyman needs, no job's too big or too small. So give the pros a call at 972-684-0750. 972-684-0750. That's Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. They're professionals who care.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, co-workers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Hit high and deep to left center. This has got a chance. Gone! Another home run for Olsen. He smokes another one. He lit the fuse on this bomb, and that's gone!
Listen to every pitch live, exclusively on your home for Atlanta Braves baseball, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Studios. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Late night hockey tonight. Game two, Stanley Cup playoffs. Vancouver and the Preds. Vancouver. You might want to take a nap a little bit later today. I used to do that when I was covering the team. And maybe our next guest is going to do that. Little nap. They'll do this interview, and then take a little nap. Alex Doherty covers the Preds for the Tennessean, and he's out in Vancouver. Alex, is that game day? You take a little nap?
Well, I would love to, actually, but I don't know that I'm going to have time. There's so much going on. I'm gonna try to. I normally like to take a little nap in the afternoon, but I don't know. There's so much going on with goalie news and lineups and everything happening, so we'll see.
Okay, well, let's just go on and jump right into the deep end. The big kaboom coming out that Thatcher Demko is out tonight. Of course, Rick Tocchet putting out there after their morning skate, and he may be out for the series. What can you tell us on that front?
Well, let me tell you the scene. Let me set the scene for you. So, okay. I'm in the bowl at Rogers Arena, waiting for the Predators to start skating, and most of the Canucks are off the ice. They have their scratches on, you know, at that point. And I'm looking at my phone, and then I see Elliot Friedman tweet that. And at the same time that I see Elliot Friedman tweet that, I see all of the Canucks media sprinting towards the towards the media room, like running, sprinting, everything. And so I immediately knew, like, there was something to this. And so when he came out, and Rick Tocchet, when he came out to explain it, he was kind of guarded, but he was very clear to say it wasn't the same injury that Demko had earlier. So that was apparently a knee injury. And he also said that he's going to be reevaluated, and we don't really know what the injury could be. We don't even really know when it happened. It could have happened in game one. It could have happened at their skate yesterday. So a lot of mystery around it, but the bottom line is Casey DeSmith is starting, and Casey DeSmith is a backup goaltender in the league. His numbers suggest that. He's only made one start in the NHL, in the playoffs, that is. And the Predators are, you know, obviously you can't approach it any differently. Andrew Burnett said that. But you got to feel like you have a better chance going against DeSmith than Demko.
100%. By the way, it is called Stanley Cup playoff time. So good luck trying to find that out. You probably have a better shot of seeing a Yeti run through Rogers Arena right before puck drop than you would trying to find out his injury. Because you know how this works. I mean, it gets tight-lipped, especially up there in Canada.
So, speaking of that, normally, so just spinning towards the Predators here, Andrew Burnett has been very, very forthcoming with lineup changes, with who's starting in net, all that stuff for the regular season. And he was pretty good about it after game or before game one. We asked him today, any potential changes? Well, first of all, yesterday asked him if there was a chance that Dante Fabbro or Cody Glass would get in the lineup, and he said possibly, but haven't made any decisions. And then today I followed up with him, and he said we're going to have some game time decisions. So, yes, you're right. Brunette is also tightening things up, not letting loose what's gonna happen in the lineup. So, yeah, it's that time of year. It makes it fun for some people, not as much fun for me, but it's okay.
I've never understood that whole. Honestly, Alex, it has always perplexed me. Like, what in the hell difference does it make whether Anthony Beauvillier or Cody Glass, and it gets, you know, it gets out there today at 1 o'clock your time, or it gets out there tonight, you know, when they have to turn the. I mean, like, what? Really? Like, you think Vancouver, when it gets out that Cody Glass is in, that they're having a special meeting to prepare for? I mean, come on. It doesn't change anything. I've never understood that.
Yeah, it would take a lot. It would take a huge change. Like, it would take, like, a key player coming back from injury to make any kind of a real impact. You know, like, if some major player on either team was injured and you didn't know if they were going to play or not, you know, like a JT Miller or a Ryan O'Reilly or something like that, like, that would be big news. But, yeah, exactly. This is minor stuff. And, you know, all we can do is do our job and try to find out what it's going to be, and then they're just going to say, nope, not going to tell you.
Yeah, so. No, that's true. So what's your gut feeling? I'm just asking you. You were there for game one, and I said this yesterday on the show. I said it today on the show. Typically, this is when coaches make changes, when they lose in a playoff series. It doesn't mean that's going to happen. I said, I don't know. He probably won't, but if he's going to, it's usually after a loss. What's your gut feeling? Do you think any lineup changes will happen?
I kind of think that there's a chance Glass is in. That is just a hunch. And if he goes in, he would be in over Beauvillier. I think Carrier probably stays in the lineup and Fabbro doesn't play over him. So that's my gut.
Yeah.
That's what I would feel. Will that make a big difference? Probably not. Glass over Beauvillier, I think, is just more of a let's see if this works. It's not like a matchup thing. It's not, It's not glasses, tools, bring something totally different than Bavillier. It's just like a, hey, let's tweak this one thing and see if that helps.
Yeah. So reading the stuff on social media, and I've got no reason to think it wasn't true. Man, the knuckleheads, man, they were, those fans were pretty nasty, weren't they? I mean, what is all of a sudden this hatred toward Nashville and the Predators?
Well,
it's pretty nasty.
I mean, Darren, what I'm looking forward to is I can't wait to read the next transcript of this interview in the Vancouver Sun or whatever it is. See exactly what they think about what we say. So
yeah,
now that we've got their ear, I think they're just passionate, man. It's like this team has. I mean, you could see it in the city, in the arena on Sunday. They have been waiting for a playoff home game for 9 years. 2015 was the last one, and they've been so amped up. They've been waiting for a good Canucks team to have a chance in the series, and that's what this is. So I think that's just part of it. Now they got a taste of it, and they want to hold on to it. They want to keep this run going, and I just think the fans are an extension of that. So
I said yesterday on the show and today, look, for all the praise that UC Soros gets over the years, and he's rightfully so, he's deserved it. But it is now time, because you are ultimately judged on what you do in the playoffs. It is time for him to steal a game. It's time for him to maybe steal a game or two. Pekka did that in his career, and that's why he's so beloved in this town. That's one of the many, many, many reasons. And he has a statue out in front of Bridgestone Arena. Yep. But look, UC Soros, for all the love and praise, rightfully so, that he gets, like, you can't keep losing playoff games. Like, you're going to have to start, you know, at times. And look, Monday or game one was a perfect opportunity Sunday night to steal a game for them. And it didn't happen. And I know that first one he'd love to have back. But look, you just can't do that. What are your overall thoughts on UC Soros? And now even more considering the news, right? Like, if he could stand on his head, this is a golden opportunity for them.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If the pressure wasn't there, it's even more now, because if UC Soros goes in there tonight and gets out-dueled by Casey DeSmith, who is making only his second playoff start ever, is not anything close to his talent level, that will start to raise some questions. Because, I mean, not that it's all on him, because the Predators have to play well too. I mean, if the Predators can't generate any shots on DeSmith because the Canucks are playing great defense, that's different. But you know, if he doesn't make those saves we know he can make in this moment, and DeSmith and the Canucks come out with a win, like, that's, yeah, it's gonna be real interesting heading back home. And not to mention the offseason. You know, what are they gonna do with him? So. Yeah, like, it's very clear. It's always been clear that Rene was never really in. Like, he was never going to get touched in terms of his aura, the love that the Predators fans have for him. And it's because of the playoff performances that we remember, like the one against the Canucks, you know, 13 years ago, and like the one against the Blackhawks in the 2017 run. Like, all these memorable moments. Soros needs that. He needs that game that stands out as, that was the game that Soros won for us in the playoffs, and we feel comfortable moving forward and saying he's our guy now. I mean, he's only 29, so, like, it's not like this is his last run or something, but he's only got 1 year on his deal left here, and if it doesn't go well in this playoff run and they don't make the playoffs next year, or they trade him, this could be it. This could be his last chance to show Nashville what he's capable of.
Alex, you know, I know you talked a lot about, you know, the feelings up there in Vancouver and the fact that they are ready to go here as far as, you know, trying to get a team on the ice that's going to do something. Overall, though, I would imagine that it's more than that. It's probably some frustration. So tonight in the arena, when DeSmith comes out here instead of their regular goalie here, I imagine that the air may be coming out of that place just a little bit. As they start to think, maybe, oh, woe is me, the energy may be a little different tonight in Rogers Center.
I think the energy could be different, but I actually don't think it'll be because of DeSmith. If anything, I would imagine they'd kind of rally around that guy. I think it's because maybe a little bit of a come down moment from Sunday. Hmm. I mean, it was a big day for them, like for them to get that win and to finally be back. It felt like a celebration in and of itself in a way. And so you wonder if game two, maybe there's a few less people willing to go because, you know, they got to experience it one time. Maybe they'll save it for the next round or something. You know, you wonder if as many people will be hyped up about the game knowing they already got one game under the belt. You know, I don't know. I think that there's a chance for it to be less enthusiastic, but I don't know. I mean, they seem like they had a ton of energy Sunday, so they should be ready to go. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. The Preds have scored two goals against the Canucks in every game they've played this season. All the games have been final score, Vancouver, whatever, Nashville, two. Mm-hmm. You know, getting over the hump here for them and trying to score, and I know the backup goalie is in tonight here, but if they come out of there without scoring more than two goals, I don't even know what to do at that point if you're them. I know you can just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, we're moving on to game three. But no. It's got to be more than that if you can't crack more than two goals against the backup goalie tonight.
Yeah, I agree. And what was strange, I think it was McDonough. I guess he's probably saying this because he plays defense and he probably feels like any time that we score any goals at all that they should win because he has pride on the defensive end of the game. But you know, he said something like, you know, that they, you know, they scored enough to win the game on Sunday, which in a way is true. They were up 2-1. But yeah, the problem was they had three more glorious chances on the power play to go up 3-1 or more. And you feel like if they score one of those, it's a totally different result. Vancouver might not even have that second goal to get within one. That was a part of the game that outside of that 12 seconds when Vancouver scores and then goes ahead, that was a big moment. Like not getting the extra advantage, the power play kind of getting shut down by the penalty kill. And there were other moments throughout the game that I feel like they missed some chances that they would want back. Like, early on, there was a play, Luke Evangelista made a pass to Beauvillier, mm-hmm. and Demko made a huge save. That was I think it was maybe one of his first saves of the game.
Yeah, point blank, it felt like, yeah.
Yeah, point blank save. And then there was another play where Roman Josi just drilled a shot off the crossbar. Those two stand out as, like, I feel like if they get those chances again, they're going to score next time. I mean, those are just high chances that you normally would score, but you just for whatever random reason they didn't. So like if they can get chances like that, get some odd man rushes, get Roman Josi some wide open shots from the middle of the ice, they'll be okay. They'll get more than two goals, but that's going to be a big part of it. Yeah, they're going to need more than two tonight for sure.
Does their defense especially focus in on Forsberg in these games? You know, because he's got to be a part of the scoring engine for them if they're going to get going here at some point. And listen, O'Reilly and the other guys have done a great job scoring around him, but he's the guy. Like, he's got to, mm-hmm. I saw another stat today on another channel. Oh, Alex Ovechkin is zero. The Capitals are 0-4 when he doesn't score in playoff games. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what the Predators' number is, if it's something similar, if Philip Forsberg can't get going.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. It's probably not great because, and also, I mean, he scored a lot of goals this year. They've played a lot of games where he scored, so it's probably a good record when he scores and not one when he doesn't. I went back and watched a little bit of Forsberg. I think there was a little bit of just hesitancy. And then when he got the puck, he didn't control it well. I think he was trying to be, I mean, he was almost trying to be too physical and just focusing on that and not focused enough on the puck. Mm-hmm. Maybe just relying on the energy and trying to out muscle the guy, but not using his puck skills enough. So maybe he just needs to do more of that. But I was very surprised by how physical the Canucks were on Sunday. That was a kind of a surprising part. I mean, especially early in the game, they were laying all kinds of big hits and out muscling. I mean, at one point, Connor Garland just stole the puck from Ryan O'Reilly. Like, I did not see that coming. So there were moments that you need Forsberg to be that elite player on the puck and to not lose it and to get shots on. Yeah, if they go out and Predators and Forsberg, I'm sorry, let's say they win tonight and Forsberg doesn't score and he still looks like Sunday, I still don't like their chances in the series. They've got to find him and get him to that point where he's a lethal threat in a game, because if they don't have that, then he's not gonna be a factor in the rest of the series. They don't have much of a chance.
You touched on what I was gonna touch on. It's just I was surprised at how Vancouver, you know, Nashville in the second half of the season, especially when they got hot and they had the 18 game point streak and what have you. You know, they didn't give up leads. They dictated the pace. They pushed people around. You know, they were a physical team, a lot of hits and this and that. And Vancouver was doing that. They couldn't do that. That did surprise me. I know Tyler Myers is big, huge defenseman, but man, he was playing really, really angry. Do you think there's that changes in game two, or do you think Vancouver can actually do that for an entire series?
I think they're probably going to roll that again. And you saw what it did. I mean, the Predators got four power play chances in the game.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those as a result of them being too physical. I think that, you know, if they do back off, that plays into Nashville's advantage, because if they can be less physical at all, then all of a sudden Forsberg has a little bit more room. Tommy Novak can get going. Luke Evangelista has a little bit more room to make a play. That would be great. But if they keep it on, Nashville's going to still get those power play chances, hopefully, and that would make it great too. But you know, Tyler Myers, he's had a pretty good postseason career against Nashville. I mean, he was a big part of that Winnipeg series. Him and Dustin Byfuglien, those big, big Winnipeg Jets players back then that were just really physical with Nashville. And Nikita Zadorov, I think, was in that Avalanche series that the mm-hmm. Predators won too. I mean, like some of these guys just have a knack for bodying up Nashville over the years, and yeah, you saw that on Sunday for sure.
Okay, so leave us with this. What do you think, other than the obvious, score more goals in Vancouver, ha ha ha, what do you think is the key for Nashville capturing game two? What do they need to do, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it comes down to Forsberg. Let's say that line. Let's say that line. I mean, that line got essentially canceled out in the game. I mean, O'Reilly said he wasn't very good after the game. Nyquist didn't do much. And then, obviously, we already talked about Forsberg. That line needs to be the unit tonight for Nashville, the one that goes out and you expect them to score on every shift. They got caught defensively a lot. They got stuck in their own zone and then had to dump it and change. That is going to be the key. If that line can get it going, I like their chances a lot, actually.
The good news for the Preds? Two visiting teams won last night. So, hey, we actually got some away teams winning in hockey.
So you're telling me there's a shot.
Yeah. Two teams did it last night. So,
well, last night I was actually at the home team that won, the Oilers. I was actually last night at a Oilers-themed bar here in Vancouver, which is not what you'd expect. But, yeah, it was like Edmonton Oilers fans like meet there, and there's like Oilers stuff on the walls, and no one really cares about the Canucks there, but they all hate the Leafs and they all hate the Flames. So that's what I gathered.
Sounds
that was
like
what I gathered about
a true time. Canadian sports bar. Yep, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Hey,
it was a great time. Yep.
Alex, keep doing bang up work. Have fun tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy it, and hopefully you will come back, and we'll be talking about a split before Friday's game in Nashville. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Take it easy, y'all.
All right. Alex Doherty covers the Preds for the Tennessee, and you can find his coverage. Go to Alex Doherty 1 on X, and he'll have all the good stuff for you. Tonight, a little bit after 9 o'clock, drop of the puck for Game 2. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Tuesday's edition of the McFarland Show. We'll do that next.
Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting all of our first responders for their service. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing, siding, window, door, and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. AJ and the staff are professionals who care.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big. If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
They say health is wealth, and I could not agree more. That's why if you or somebody in your life is living with everyday aches and pains, I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps fight pain naturally. Naturally. Now that's a big deal. Developed by its doctors, Relief Factor's unique formula of ingredients all work together to help support your body's response to inflammation. Instead of masking pain for a couple of hours, Relief Factor actually helps reduce or even eliminate your pain for good. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better, give Relief Factor a try. In 3 weeks, you will know if it's working because you'll feel it. I was sent Relief Factor for me to try. I've been taking it every single day, and I do feel the difference. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. Save on your first order. Don't let pain tell you how to live. Fight back naturally with Relief Factor. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Buyintow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyintow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyintow.com. That's buyintow.com.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
All this has been great so far for Rand Carthon. Like, this offseason has been a really good offseason for the Titans. I mean, they really have knocked it out of the park here in the last week, right? I mean, Calvin Ridley, this trade, obviously landing Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Everything that they've done really has been really good.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The McFarland Show. Video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube from the Strike and Spare Studio.
Pretty interesting discussion with Alex Storti out in Vancouver. You know, I've been saying UC Saros has got to step up. He's saying Philip Forsberg needs to step up too. And this is a guy who had 48 goals this season. And when you look at his games in the playoffs, he's been in 76 playoff games. I'm counting the one on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And in 76 playoff games, he only has 29 goals and 25 assists.
Now, 76 games is just about one full almost NHL full season.
Yeah.
So if you take a look at this past season where he played 82 games, of course, he scored 48 goals. And now we're talking about 75 games where he scored how many goals in particular here, Darren?
29.
That's a significant drop-off. Some of that has to do with, of course, the defense, I'm sure, scouting, focusing in, saying if you stop this guy, you stop them, essentially. But then some of that is on him knowing that that's going to be the case. So what are you doing to get him free and making sure that the goal-scoring engine of your team is able to kind of get going? If you know he's your guy and you know everybody's gonna, then what's the counterpoint? If you know that's what's gonna happen, there's gotta be a counterpoint to you to get him free, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And that happens across all sports.
The last time they were in the playoffs when they got swept by Colorado, he didn't have, he had a goal, no assists, just a point in that series. Again, they got swept, so it was 4 games. The series before, the time before that, when they lost to Colorado in 6, he had a goal, or 2 goals, excuse
two
me,
goals,
2 goals and assist, 3 points in 6 games. And then the year before that was the, what was that, the bubble? That was the...
The COVID year?
The COVID year. I'm sorry, Carolina. I said Colorado back-to-back year. It was Carolina. The six games was against the Hurricanes. Remember when they had the COVID divisions? Remember when Carolina was in their division with Tampa and Florida?
Yeah, playing regional games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was against Carolina. They lost 4-2 in that series, and he had two goals in that series. The time before that was the bubble, Arizona. They played four games. He had three goals and two assists. So not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
In that series. Before that was, of course, let's see, that would have been the Dallas series. They played six games. He had a goal and assist. The year before that is when they lost to Winnipeg in game seven in round two.
Yeah.
They played Colorado in the first round. They played 13 games. He had seven goals, nine assists.
So not bad. There you go.
16 points.
That's what you want to see.
16 points in 13 games.
That's what you want to see.
You'll take that. Then, of course, the Stanley Cup year when they went to the final. They played 22 games. He had nine goals, seven assists, 16 points.
Yeah.
And then the year before that is, remember when they went, they did game seven twice. They went to Anaheim and beat Anaheim in game seven in round one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost out in San Jose in game seven in round two. So they played 14 games. Not a good playoffs for him. Two goals, two assists in 14 games.
Much younger player at that point.
No, I mean, doubt.
The team was a little different at that point.
100%.
So, you know, different role.
Yeah. But again, 76 playoff games. 29 goals, 25 assists.
Well,
for an upper echelon player, it's not.
This year against Vancouver.
It's not eye popping.
Four games, no goals. And this year against Vancouver, regular season and playoff.
Yeah.
He's got to put the biscuit in the basket. He's the key.
It'll be very interesting to see what we are talking about tomorrow, the reaction to game two. Are they coming back even, or are they down 0-2 in the series? We'll definitely know that tomorrow when we take to the air. At 2 o'clock, also new Vanderbilt basketball coach Mark Byington will join us at 2:15. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow. We'll see you then.